Today we're going to be talking in Ephesians. We're starting in Ephesians chapter 2. And I need you to get this as Al Morse, and I want you to get this all put together. Get your Bibles out and get your pencils and papers. And we're going to be talking in Ephesians chapter 2. And this Ephesians is just a wonderful book. And I just pray that you're learning from these teachings, and we're going to continue to teach right out of the book, and so that you can follow along with me and understand these verses, and that they can become a part of your life. So let's turn into our Bibles to Ephesians in chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1. It says, "And you hath been made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now he's writing this letter to the Ephesian people, and these Ephesian people were totally—they were pagan beforehand, totally pagan. They had no idea what right and wrong. They had no idea of God. Oh, they had their own gods they made up, their gods that they were made up, and a lot of them were women, and they had these great cathedrals that they made for them, and they were nothing more than whorehouses. That's a horrible thing to say, but they were. And their religion was just horrible, and their way of life was horrible, and they acted horrible. And that's why the Jews called these people Gentile people, they called them dogs, because that's what they were. They were just as pretty low as they can get. They would steal. They didn't care. They didn't think anything about stealing or lying or cheating. You know, whatever would do them good, you know. And only they just didn't want to get caught. That's all. Because when they got caught, they thought they were severe. They'd kill each other. And but they were totally, totally away from God. And this is that's what Paul was dealing with when he dealt with the Gentiles. And, of course, today we're seeing that a lot today. I mean, let's face it. We do have a lot of good people in this world, but we've got an awful lot of people in this world that know not God whatsoever and could care less about God. And the only thing they're sorry about when they get caught and thrown in prison is not because what they did. They're just sorry they got caught. That's all. You know, they just don't have a mind of doing what's right as far as they're concerned. They just were sorry they got caught. Well, this is how the Ephesians were. There's no doubt about that. It says that, "And you," verse 1, "and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." That's how God looks to the non-believer. They're dead in their trespasses. They're just dead men walking. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. When you see people out there that have don't believe the gospel for their salvation, they're not saved, they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, they're dead men walking. That's what they are. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it as far as God is concerned. Look at verses 2. It says, "In which, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience." Who's this prince of power of the air? It's Satan. Satan. We talked about, back a few verses, we talked about how Satan has blinded the churches, you know, and how he's taken over. And people say, "Well, how can you say that Satan has taken over our countries, our world?" Well, let's just look at that. Let's just turn to Matthew. This is a Bible study. Matthew chapter 4. Mark this where we're at now in your Bible so we can go right back to it. But Matthew chapter 4, and look at verses 8. This will give you an idea the power of Satan today. This is the power of Satan today. It says, "Again," and this is when he was with Jesus, and he's saying, "Again, the devil taking him up," that's Jesus, "he took him up into an exceedingly high mountain." This is verse 8, chapter 4, verses 8. "He took him into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them." All the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them, okay? And he saith unto him, All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Of course, Jesus didn't. Then saith Jesus unto him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But what it showed us was, he had them. He had them to give. He had all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and he still does. And he's doing everything to influence it. You see, he's not concerned about the non-believers. He's already got them. He wants the church, too. And that's what I told you. He's joined the church. Here's his ministers of righteousness. We talked about that last time. His ministers of righteousness are in all the churches. They're in all the schooling, schools that they school, the ministry schools, teaching these people. There's pastors coming out of there. They don't believe that Jesus was born a virgin. They don't he really died. He just was in a coma, you know. And they don't have a clue about the gospel. And they're going out there, and they're going to be heading up churches. And people are searching all the time. They're searching. You see hundreds of people go to church and thousands. They're searching, but they're not finding any answers, see. They're not finding any answers. They're not finding churches that preach the gospel is almost impossible. Now, there's some areas that are better than others, but in the area I live, I don't know of one. I don't know of one that truly preaches the gospel. Anyhow, this is what we're talking about. Satan has that power. He has that power. So, it says in verse 2, in which in times past you walked according to the course of this world. And this, he's talking to these Ephesian people. And that course of that world was something else. According to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. It's then verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, got to change, turn the page here, by nature, children of wrath. You know, even as others. See, people who do not believe the gospel, they are children of wrath. They have the wrath of God upon them. And that isn't something you want to live under. You have no future whatsoever. But I like verse 4. It says, but God. I love the but God. I think we'll see a lot of those as we study. Who is rich in mercy, in his great love, which he loved us. You see, he knows we're in this situation. He knew that we were totally, totally wicked. And we had horrible thoughts in our minds. And he knew all that. But God, who is rich in his mercy, he loved us so much. And his great love, which he had loved us, even when we were dead in sin, see, even when we were dead in sin, he hath made us alive together with Christ. And he says, by grace, unmerited favor. Grace means unmerited. You are saved, see. See, he made us alive. He made us alive. And that's why I say there is no sin that a person can be in today that's listening to me. I don't care what it is. If you believe the gospel, if you come to the Lord and believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from dead, and you truly believe that, and you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you'll have God living in you, and he will take you out of all those problems that you've had. He will. One day at a time, but it'll be done. Because it's God living in you. All you've got to do is follow his direction, and he'll do it. And he'll do it. And you'll want to. He just changes your want-tos. He changes everything. He changes your priorities in life. He totally changed my priorities in my life. I mean, I give my whole life over to him, and I love every minute of it. And I'm going to continue till he takes me home. And it's just beyond my imagination what he has done. And he'll do the same for you. He can made us, verse 5 says, and made us alive together with Christ. See, by grace, by his unmerited favor, you're saved. Now, but unmerited means there's nothing you did yourself. All you did was just believe what he did. That's all he asked you to do. to believe that he died on that cross to pay for your sins. And you truly believe that he was buried. Sure, he was buried. He was dead. But then he rose from the dead. And that's the important thing, too. Because, you see, when he rose from the dead, that just proved, beyond a shadow of doubt, that God accepted his death on that cross to pay for our sins. He approved of it because he raised him from the dead, see. So we know that his death on that cross has paid for our sins. And so God knows that, too. And he looks at us, and we're perfect as far as God is concerned. Because of what, not what we did, and not what we do. It's what Jesus did that makes all the difference in the world. He died and paid that final sacrifice for sin for mankind. Though these verses are just so wonderful. Now look at, it says, for by grace you are saved. That's the grace of God. Unmerited favor had nothing to do with you. It didn't say that you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to join the church and you got to be baptized. You got to speak in tongues. No, it didn't say nothing. It's by grace, unmerited favor. You see, people who preach those things, they don't have a clue about the grace of God. You see, they don't have a clue about it. And what they do is they want to put Judaism into the church. Because Judaism is works. And the average person, if they think you have to work for it. I've got to do this to be a Christian. I've got to do this. No, you don't. You got to just believe God. And Jesus told us we are to believe the gospel. And when we do, he takes it from there. And he takes it all from there. There is nothing that we do for salvation except believe the gospel. Let's look at verses 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How can that even comprehend that? But when we believe this gospel, we see our future is heavenly, see. And he can raise us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did. Not what we did, but what Jesus did, see. And in the ages to come, he might show exceedingly riches of his grace, unmerited favor, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is going to just bless us beyond our whole imagination. And it's because of what Christ did on that cross. His grace that saved us. And look in verse 8. This is a verse that everybody knows, but I don't think they understand. Because they don't understand the grace of God. Again, so many churches that are out there trying to do something to be saved. You know, my church always, they preached every Sunday that I need to confess my sins. Well, you know, that has nothing to do. They say, well, that's not your salvation. That's just your walk with God. No, it isn't. It's something for me to do. And we're not involved in those kind of things. We don't have to. We have God living us. Sin is the last thing that we want to get involved in. It's one of those things that you just don't want to do when you have Christ living in you. It's awful hard to do that. And you don't want to do it. You're so happy and so wonderful. But what God is so grateful what God has done for us. That sin is the last thing you want to do. And what we want to do is to continue to follow his lead. And he'll never lead you to sin. So, then it says, verse 8 says, for by grace you are saved. What's grace? Unmerited favor. I want to say that till I die. But that's what grace is. You didn't work to it. It was what Jesus did on that cross. By the grace of God, he did unmerited favor. You're saved through faith. Well, what does faith mean? Faith means taking God at his word. And what did God tell us to do to be saved? What did he tell us to do? To believe the gospel for our salvation. So through faith in what? In the gospel. Because that's the only salvation there is. You'll say, well, it's faith in Jesus. No, it's not faith in Jesus. It's faith in what Jesus did. Because what he did is what saved us. So it's faith in the gospel, see. So, for by the grace of God, what he did on that cross, you're saved through faith in what Christ did on that cross, the salvation, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Think about that. It is a gift of God. How wonderful. How wonderful that is. It's people keep thinking they got to work for it. You know, oh, I've got to be baptized to be saved. I've got to go to church every Sunday to be saved. I've got to take communion. I've got to tithe my money. You know, I've got to pray to Mary. I've got to pray to the saints. I've got to speak in tongues. You know, I've got to be baptized. All this stuff. No, no. Our salvation is a gift of God, and it's by unmerited favor. It just says, verse 9 says, not of works. Not of any of these things that the purchase tells you got to do. None of those things have anything to do with your salvation. I'm not saying that all those things are wrong. I'm just saying there you got to put them in the right perspective. You see, I believe in going to church if I could find one to go to. You know, I'd go to church, but I haven't even found one to go to since I believe the gospel. Everywhere I go, nobody preaches the gospel. Well, I just feel like I'm in a, you know, I mean, I just no Holy Spirit there. You walk into a place when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and no one else is, you just like you don't belong there. I mean, you just feel awful. Okay, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. Think about that. Think what heaven would be like if it's like the churches the ones you'd be today. Can you imagine yourself walking around in heaven and every corner post you get go by or corner, somebody walk up to you and start telling you how he got to heaven? Well, I was a preacher and I did this and I did that. You see, there's no I in heaven. I mean, not one hint of I in heaven, because the only reason why we're done there is by the grace of God, unmerited favor. There isn't anything that you've done on this earth other than to believe the gospel that got you to heaven. Now, if God is, once you believe the gospel, God moves into you and He works through you, see. And it's what God does that goes that does through you. Those things that God does through you, God will get the reward here on this earth, but we'll get rewards. He'll get the blessings here on this earth, and we'll get the rewards in heaven. He'll get the glory here, and we'll get the rewards in heaven. But it won't be what we did. It'll be what God did through us. So there's no room to say I. There's no room for, you know, saying, oh, look what I did. Because anything I get rewards from is what God did through me. You see, it's what God does through you that counts. Oh, I know so many people that they can't ever say anything without bragging what they do, you know. Look, I've done this, and I did this, and I did this, and maybe all those things are good. But if they did it in their own flesh, and God didn't do it through them, it's worthless. It'll all burn up. And it might have been good stuff, and God might have used it. But as far as that person is concerned, if he claims it, that's his reward. You see, because it's all going to burn up, because no eye is going to make it to heaven. It ain't going to happen. He'll be there, but his works aren't going to follow, because they're going to burn up. You know, he's not going to get credit for anything, because he took the credit when it's on this earth, when we take the credit. I get so tired of people saying I all the time, because I tell them, I said, if you did it, it's worthless as far as God is concerned, but if God's doing it through you and you've given him the glory, then you'll get the rewards in heaven. But when you take the glory, that's your reward right there. Because you don't see it in heaven. Because there's no I in heaven. So, let's go through that verse again. It says, for by grace you are saved. This is grace. What God did, see, you're saved through faith. Through faith in what? The gospel. You see, that's the only way we can be saved. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, verses 10 is really, this tells you exactly what I was saying. For we are his workmanship. See, we're his workmanship, see. He works through us. It didn't say that it's our workmanship, it's his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, when he's working through us, see. Which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them, too. We should walk in those good works that God works through us, see. And we should. And we're following his leader, but it's his workmanship, not ours. It's his. He's working through us. You see, I haven't said a word since we started in this business. I haven't said a word yet. it's God speaking through me. Because what am I speaking? His word. See, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't write this. I'm the number one plagiarizer in the world. I plagiarize the Bible. I just tell it what it says. And that's God's word. And he gets the glory. And I'll have rewards in heaven for it. I got to make up for 70 years of nothing. Because I wasn't saved for 70 years, and I've been to church every day my whole life. Not every day, but constantly. It was number one in my walk on this earth was a church. But, you see, I wasn't saved until I believed the gospel. And when I did, I'm making up for lost time. And I got a lot of time to make up for. But I'm going to watch. I'm going to have a big bonfire up there when I come up there. But I'm going to have some rewards too, because what God is doing through me, and he's doing things that's beyond my imagination. And I just praise him every day and thank him for what he's done. It's just beyond my imagination what he's done in the last 6 months. Okay, just start with verse 11. We're down to about the last 5 minutes. It says, therefore, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who have been called the uncircumcision. That's what they called him. They were the uncircumcised people. That's a physical act, if you know about it. But the Gentiles were uncircumcised, by which is called the circumcision in the flesh by his hands. Called by the circumcision they made in his hands. That they were called the uncircumcision by the circumcision, or the Jews. At that time, you were without Christ. See, this is before they heard about this gospel. They were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, they weren't. They had no connection whatsoever with Israel. And they were strangers to the covenants. They had no idea about the covenants that Israel was under, of the promises, having no hope. Why? Because they were without God in the world. See, these people were totally without God. And that's this tremendous amount of people right now living in the same boat. They are totally without hope. No hope whatsoever, because they're without God. They do not know the gospel. See? Then it says, the verse I like, But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, are made near. How was he made near to you? By the blood of Christ. It didn't say by taking Jesus as your Savior. It didn't say you was brought near by believing in Jesus. It didn't say you was taken near by taking Jesus in your heart. No, it's the blood of Christ, his death, that brought you near. Because he paid your sin debt. He made it so that you can come to God. He made it so that you're perfect as far as God's concerned, because you took all the sin from you, and he paid for it on that cross. And when Jesus looks at you now, he doesn't see this person that's a sinner. Oh, we're still sinners, but he doesn't see it, because he accepted Christ's death on that cross to pay for all of our sins. And so we're perfect in his sight. We're perfect in his sight. I'd like to just turn you to we got time? Yeah. Let's turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. That's just over Ephesians and then Philippians and then Colossians to the right. Chapter 1. It's one of my favorite verses. And this is what God has done for us. It says, and you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind in wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled us. See, he's talking to these Colossians. They're the same way. They were the same way the Ephesians. They were totally in wicked works, yet now he reconciled us. How did he do it? It said, in the body of his flesh through death. He didn't say it by taking Jesus as your Savior, did he? It said, of his flesh through death, to present you what? Because of his death on that cross, and we believe it, see. What did he do? He presents us holy, unblameable, and unreproachable in his sight. Excuse me, unreprovable in his sight. Can you imagine that? And that's how God looks at us. I don't care how bad a situation you're in. When you believe the gospel, God sees you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Why? Because Jesus has paid for your sins, and you've acknowledged that. You know, just acknowledging you know Jesus, you know of Jesus or believe in Jesus. I mean, the devil believes in Jesus, but you believe what he did. See? And when you believe that he died for your sins, you become holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. But there's an if there. What does this if say? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See? From the hope of the gospel. You see, you've got to continue to believe the gospel. You have to be grounded. And from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, am made a minister. That's how important the gospel is. And Paul, that's all he preached. And the churches don't preach it anymore. But it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of taking Jesus as your Savior. No, it says the hope of the gospel, see. The hope of the gospel. How important is that? And then we see that it was preached in every creature under the heavens in which I, Paul, was made a minister. And they won't even listen to, even open the books to Paul. 95% of the preachers today on Sunday preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the other 5%, half of that is an Old Testament that's done the first year. And it preached on your tithing, which has nothing to do with the church. Nothing to do whatsoever with the church. It's a Jewish custom, and they just take the Judaism and put it in their church because they don't have people in there that are true believers, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he takes, and they can't do it on their own, so they have to make laws that they do. Anyway, this is just wonderful, and I just love this book. We've got to quit now. We're getting close to it, so let's have a prayer. We'll start next time on right where we're left off here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time we've had to teach these Gospels to you, to them, to everybody, and hope that they understand your word. And I just pray you be with them and guide and direct them and draw them to know the Gospel for their salvation. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.